is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekly news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Dr. Lee for America, a guest host for Malcolm Out Loud on Independence Day 2021. From Malcolm and all of us on America Out Loud Talk Radio, we wish you a happy Independence Day as we celebrate with you our Creator's gifts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that our founders and brave Americans since then have fought to achieve in the face of tyranny then and since. Malcolm had a family medical emergency, and as his friend and a Team Nation regular on America Out Loud, I stepped in to host today. Let's say prayers for Malcolm and his family. And today, we have some powerful voices of freedom. As we celebrate our founders' seminal document, the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in this pandemic year, we have seen an assault on every single one of those unalienable rights. Today, I have a special Independence Day program that may save your life with doctors saying no to medical tyranny. Our first guest is an outspoken Canadian physician who's on fire with the concerns about what is happening to people around the world. He is a pathologist and scientist who earlier in his career stood up to big tobacco and now is saying no to the tyranny and danger of the COVID mass vaccination mandates, one of the greatest threats to our freedom and our very lives as the deaths and injuries skyrocket. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson is a graduate of Cambridge University and chairman of an American biotech company. He's practiced medicine in the UK, Canada, and the USA. He'll be with us again later in the week on an in-depth show on Voice of a Nation, and he and I will be talking as physicians on that program in more depth about the medical issues. For today, I want to say he is most proud of his role in taking on big tobacco for their predatory marketing tactics, especially preying on young people to start an addictive habit. And for this, he was awarded Citizen of the Year in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. He is now with us on the Truth for Health Foundation Advisory Council, and he is leading the charge on doctors say no to the COVID vaccines. Welcome, Dr. Hodgkinson, and thank you for celebrating America's Independence Day with us with your voice of medical freedom.
Thank you, Dr. Valliette. A powerful introduction, and I'm honored to be part of your show.
Well, I'm grateful to have you here, and I would like for you to just start off with some of the hard-hitting messages that you and I and Dr. McCullough and others were talking about in our conference call from London when everyone was so involved in what can we do to save lives. We are physicians first, and we're in a war. What can we do?
Well, you've heard some of my credentials. Before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to finish with what I told you, let me tell you what I'm not. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't believe in the Great Reset. What I am is a career pathologist who's lived his life, his full career, in evidence-based medicine. So I'm going to tell you the truth. That's what I'm not. So let me start. This is the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, because it's the truth, as opposed to what you've been hearing through all the usual sources. We are now at war with our own governments, and the tyranny must stop now. All the usual sources that you've relied upon have been suppressed, leaving you alone. So I say to the media and to the church and to organized medicine and to politicians, a pox on the lot of you. You've left us alone. But we'll remember, it's called elections, and your jobs are on the line and heads will roll. Let me explain some of the fundamental issues of this monstrosity that's upon us. This is a pseudo-epidemic. It never was an emergency. It's nothing worse than a bad flu, in which we have to pay particular attention to protecting our dear ones in nursing homes. The mandates, the masks, the social distancing, the travel bans, the lockdowns, they simply don't work. If you could see me on video, I would ask you to read my lips and repeat what I'm saying. They don't work. Repeat after me. They don't work. None of them. They're arbitrary. And remember what Einstein said about stupidity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the outcome to be different. This is an upside down world where all the usual people that are expected to protect you, as I elaborate, are actually killing you. The church and medicine have caved into the states, to the state. The preachers out there who are listening, the ones that are hiding behind their pulpits, I shame you. What would Jesus have done? He didn't hide behind the columns. He turned the tables over, didn't he? And he took the consequences. You're not. Shame on you. Physicians, where are you? What about your ethics? The Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. Informed consent. Core ethics that you're ignoring. Putting your incomes first, that's despicable for a physician. You're practicing medical malpractice by being silent, knowing full well the dangers that your patients are experiencing. I shame you all, and I wonder how you can look yourselves in the mirror in the morning. This is all translated, of course, into fear. That's what happens when truth is suppressed. Fear, maintained by the ridiculous PCR test that cranks out 95% false positives with people who are perfectly well. And censorship of all the usual sources of information, whether it's politics, whether it's the media, or whether it's physicians themselves. And I include in that basket the colleges and the regulatory bodies of physicians that are the principal reason physicians are being so intimidated. The colleges are supposed to protect you from us, to make sure we're not pedophiles and we're not cutting off the wrong legs. And what are they doing? They're saluting in government's general direction and becoming the enforcer of government actions that are actually killing people. Is that not an upside down world? They are supposed to be protecting you. Instead of that, they're killing you. And I use those words advisedly.
That was a powerful statement. And as a practicing physician who said, no, patients on my watch in my practice are not going to die. I can do something about it. And I started using some of the ideas that were coming out from China and India and South Korea and Dr. Zelenko in New York and other and Dr. Didier Raoul in France and some of the doctors in Italy in March 2020. And every single patient that us frontline doctors have treated early in the first 5 days of symptoms with this combination therapy have survived and have not had to go in the hospital. That's certainly been true in my practice, and it's true across the board for many of my colleagues. I just think what you have said is absolute truth on this Independence Day, when we have seen the greatest tyranny in my lifetime. I was born after World War II, so I didn't live through that. But I can tell you, nothing in my lifetime comes close to the tyranny and the absolute violation of every one of our fundamental rights that we have just experienced since this pandemic was unleashed on the world. So thank you for speaking out. And I am ashamed of my profession as well. Just as you said, why are doctors cowering in the corner, hiding from their patients? We still have doctors who won't have patients come into their office if they aren't wearing a mask or if they aren't vaccinated. That is absurd, and that is despicable, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more with you, Dr. Vallette. The comments you make about treatment are very appropriate. The opportunity to save lives has been prohibited by government internationally in many jurisdictions, certainly in Canada and in many states. That is despicable. Essentially, what's being said is, if you go to a hospital with symptoms that could be COVID and you test positive, with probably a real positive if you're having symptoms, what they're really saying is, you know what? Your oxygen level isn't quite low enough. Why don't you just go home? Subtext of that, come back when you're blue, when you're desperate. Instead of taking them home, letting them go home with a package of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. That again is medical malpractice of the most profound degree. Because you see, with treatment that is available, there is no need for a vaccine. This was never an emergency to predicate a vaccine development at warp speed. This vaccine has not been subjected to the usual cautious 5 to 7 year clinical trial. It's still strictly experimental. And to call it safe is a massive distortion of the English language. Nothing could be further than the truth. This is a very unsafe vaccine. Look at the number of deaths we're seeing shortly after vaccination, just in the States. We're over 6,000 now, and similar numbers in Europe. Never seen before with any vaccination program, and yet they're continuing. Not just continuing, but injecting it now into children. Children, our most precious resource. And now the bunny in the headlights for them. That is despicable, because the effects on children could be catastrophic. We don't know the effects on fertility, for example. We've certainly seen myocarditis in young men, which the CDC is calling mild. If that's not a distortion of the English language too. It goes on and on. Kids are being asked to simply, yep, roll up your sleeve. Intimidation, peer pressure. They're trying to induce you, kids, to have this vaccination with the bribing of ice cream. And for adults with lottery tickets. It's going on and on. It's state-sanctioned child abuse when it comes to children. And it is unbelievable what is going on in our society right now. I'm beside myself with anger and depression, Dr. Vliet.
You know, the tyranny that the colonists underwent under King George was small potatoes compared to what we are seeing today. Their lives were regulated and taxed, and they were threatened with confiscation of their weapons, which they needed to survive, to feed themselves, not just for self-defense. They were absolutely tyrannized by the king, but he was 3,000 miles away, and these were minor compared to what we're seeing today, and they fought back against oppression. What has happened to the American public that has just capitulated and absolutely caved in to the most egregious micromanagement of our lives, shutting down businesses, churches, and your right to move around, your right to travel, your right to move with and breathe freely, for heaven's sakes, your right to choose your medical treatment. What has happened to the spirit of America? As we look at this Independence Day, what does America mean? And what are you, our listeners, doing about standing up for your unalienable rights? That's what I find absolutely staggering, to look around my country and I don't recognize it.
I agree, Dr. Vliet. To put a point on it, there's no point in liberty if you're dead.
It bears repeating.
There's no point in liberty if you're dead. You fought too hard and long, not just for your independence, but to defeat fascism, to defeat communism. And the next war, of course, is going to be with China. And they're looking at us and wondering, we don't have to fire a shot. They're killing themselves. The governments are oppressing their own people. Can you imagine what they're thinking in Beijing right now? You're ripe for the picking. That's what they're thinking. But let's talk about what individual listeners can do for themselves, Dr. Vliet. Obviously, resist vaccination. As someone said, and I wish I'd coined the phrase myself, you can't be unvaccinated. Once it's in you, you're done. Remember that, specifically for your children. I suggest you consider taking vitamin D, 5,000 international units a day, and 50 milligrams of zinc, known to be protective. Consider notices of liability to intimidate those who are trying to force you in your place of employment or your children to be vaccinated. A shot across the bow might make them think and stop.
Tell our listeners more along those lines and what you have in mind on that. Let's give them some specifics. I like that idea.
A notice of liability is a legal document. There are templates on the web in which you present this letter to your employer or your school, the school principal, or even better, the superintendent of schools, and even better, those who are sitting as governors or on councils that are supposed to be monitoring the activities of these organizations. And what this notice of liability says very clearly is, listen, have I got your attention? If you force me or my child to do this and these terrible things happen, claiming ignorance is no defense. I am going to come after you. Now, what that sends, that message would be received by people who've never received a threatening letter of that type in their entire lives. That will cause them to pause, because getting director's liability insurance is now very expensive. And many places are simply not insuring the people that are supposed to be regulating activities in their company, boards of directors, for example, or in school boards and so on, hospital boards. That would be a shot across the bow. It needs to be repeated. There's a formal structure to it. It depends on the country. But I strongly recommend you look into it, because that can be very intimidating. We are going to sue you. You cannot claim that you were ignorant. Witness the Nuremberg trials. Seven physicians swung by claiming that defense, and it didn't work.
We will have some of those legal template letters on the advocacy section in our truthforhealth.org website. And so, and Dr. Hodkinson and I will be working on getting some of these resources available to people. And there are other resources on the web also, as he mentioned, and it does vary by country. We just did a webinar with legal advocates and clergy advocates throughout Asia earlier, and that is a group who is teaching people how to advocate for their rights, just as Dr. Hodkinson is explaining to our listeners today. And many lawyers working on this front filing these suits do believe that these letters of notice of liability to the pharmacies that are giving the vaccines without adequate informed consent, to your colleges, parents, advocate for your children, don't just capitulate. This is an excellent approach. What are some of your other strategies, Dr.
Well,
Hodkin?
They get personal, Dr. Vliet. Let's talk about children. Rip their masks off. Let them see nonverbal communication. It's a vital part of their upbringing. Hug your children. Smile at them. Shake hands with people. Don't avoid people in the aisle at Walmart. That's not how it used to happen in a time I call BC, before COVID. We need to get back to normal entirely, with no constraints on our liberty whatsoever, because it simply doesn't work. This is not Ebola. It's a pseudo-epidemic. It simply is a bad flu, and we handled that personally in years gone by most effectively, didn't we? If we were sick, we stayed home. We had chicken noodle soup. We sprinkled it with Tylenol. We sweated it out, and we decided we would go back to work. No testing, no government involvement at all. That's what we need to do this time. Build herd immunity the natural way, with the whole virus, not just a bit of it that's toxic and is killing people. That's how we did things, and that's how we should do things now. Get back entirely to normal. Protect granny in the nursing home with ways that are well known, because that's the only place where significant risk exists, and even that risk is relatively minor. Ignore all the fear-mongering, the variants, and so on. Variants are utterly irrelevant. Even if a variant is more transmissible, it means nothing. We want to increase transmission to build herd immunity the natural way. These variants are not more virulent. In fact, the Delta variant is less virulent. That's typically what happens with viruses as an epidemic proceeds. So,
well, and less virulent means that people are less likely to die. Let's make it clear for our listeners. The Delta variant is less likely to kill you than what you've been hearing about COVID-19, the original version. And there were already 60 mutations at least by February 2020. Variants are not new. They happen to viruses all the time. So this is being used as a weapon of fear, the ginning up the fear about the Delta variant, people, is being used as a tyrannical means of controlling you. This is Independence Day. Declare your independence from the media tyranny of lies and deception. That's the message that we as physicians are bringing you today on this Independence Day. We'll have another physician from the UK joining us shortly after the break, who's going to talk more about some of the toxicity and dangers that you've been hearing from Dr. Hodkinson, who is in Canada at this time. We are united in saying no to tyrannical coercion and mandates that violate your liberty and also threaten your life. Where are we in terms of the death count from these vaccines, related to the vaccines at this point?
Well, in the States, the VAERS database is now showing over 6,000 deaths shortly after vaccination. That number has not been validated. It's a self-reporting system. The numbers that are being reported, some of those may not be related to the vaccination. But that is much more offset by the reality that in previous vaccination campaigns, the adverse reaction reporting was a fraction of the true level of the adverse reactions. We're talking here about between 1% and 10% in previous vaccination programs. Only 1 to 10% of adverse reactions were ever reported. Not only that, but the VAERS system is out of date. It's not current. And remember, we're just 6 months into this. It's not even a whole year of data. What has resulted from that VAERS statistic is this. Over the last 30 years, during vaccination attempts for other vaccines, we have not killed 6,000 people over 30 years. It's a massive, massive increase that should shut down vaccination programs right now.
That's exactly right. And one of the concerns about the VAERS database is that according to people who work for the CDC, who have been reporting to our physician and legal team with some of the organizations looking into this, is that VAERS and CDC are at least 4 months behind in reporting the deaths and the adverse reactions that are connected in time to the vaccine. And one of the problems is that I think we are going to see that these are substantiated and validated, because Dr. McCullough made the point multiple times that on every page of the VAERS reporting system, there is a warning that a false report can lead to fines and imprisonment. And he is convinced that these are real, these are legitimate reports. And it's so difficult to do that most people are not going to be able to do it unless they really are a physician or healthcare professional who's concerned about the patients. We're going to need to take a break, and we will be right back. Stay tuned for more on Viewpoint this Sunday, and check out all of the great columns, podcasts, and shows on the whole America Out Loud Talk Radio platform. We'll be right back.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report. Are you looking for better sleep, focus, and energy? Check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. I just took a Healthy Cell today before I went out and exercised, and I can tell you I am working hard for America Out Loud Radio as we speak. And tonight, I am looking for good REM sleep. And I can tell you I am tired, and I want to fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell. I'm going to use the Healthy Cell REM sleep supplement. This is the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. So go to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, and get a 20% off for your first order of any product. I use Healthy Cell, and I'm really glad that I've been introduced to it. So I recommend it for you. Again, go to HealthyCell.com and use the OUTLOUD promotional code for 20% off your first order. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. This Sunday, this is Dr. Lee for America, in for Malcolm as guest host today with our guest, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson from Canada. And joining us now will be Dr. Michael Yeadon, a professional research scientist with over 30 years at the senior level in the pharmaceutical and biotech industries. He worked for Pfizer for 17 years and left in 2011 as vice president and chief scientist for their respiratory and allergic diseases unit worldwide. He has consulted for over 30 startup biotech companies and has first-class joint honors degree in biochemistry and toxicology, and is a research-based PhD in respiratory pharmacology. Welcome, Dr. Yeadon. Thank you for joining us from the UK.
Good day to you, and thank you very much, Dr. Glitt, for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. You have been powerful voices warning the public about the dangers with these experimental genetic biological agents. They are not true vaccines in the traditional sense. So tell us more about what has led you to bring your concerns to the public.
Yes, certainly I can do that. I think I started maybe in the spring of last year. I was quite alarmed when I heard my Prime Minister, Mr. Boris Johnson, telling us in March, you must stay at home. That was the instruction. We've never, ever isolated the healthy in order to prevent epidemics of respiratory viruses. It's not in our national pandemic preparedness plans, nor that of any other country. But of course, we did what we were told because we're Brits. But I would say after about 3 weeks, when this famous quote of stay home for 3 weeks to flatten the curve, does that sound familiar to anyone listening? It was not true. It was the beginning of a period of repression, and I'm afraid to say lying, by misleading the public over the hazards of this respiratory virus, which continue to this day. So certainly by late April, my wife reminds me, I was running around the house raving, saying, we are in serious trouble. I knew we were, something peculiar was happening. And as the year wore on, it became clear to me that almost all of the, well, I'll be blunt, all of the main driving narrative points that your government has told you about this virus and treatments, vaccination, precautions, every single one of those statements is incorrect. And so those who say it, who are qualified, like chief scientists that advise the UK government, for example, I have to be blunt, and I don't like doing it, they're lying. when they say things that are not true and they know they're not true, I'm afraid that's lying. And it's not a mistake. I heard Dr. Hodkinson earlier say a fear is intrinsic. It's deliberate to induce fear to get people to comply. This misleading information, I think, is leading people to comply with things that are harmful to them, including acceptance of vaccines that bluntly they don't need, because most people can repel this virus successfully. Those that can't should be able to take advantage of safe and effective low-cost medicines. We're not clear how well these vaccines work, and it looks like not very well. And then finally, just to my horrible disappointment, they do appear to have a substantial toxicity compared with anything under that name in the past. And I'll just pause there.
Yes, I think this would be a great opportunity for you and Dr. Hodkinson to share with us your perspectives on a brief overview for our listeners on this Independence Day. Let's mm-hmm. focus on what is the threat to their lives from some of the toxicities that you and Dr. Hodkinson have been discussing. And we've been seeing clinically. I've seen it in my own practice.
Yeah. So, Roger, I heard you doing a real tour de force, I think, a good description of what people should do in order to resist pressure, inappropriate pressure, by the way, illegal pressure. It's illegal to coerce people, let alone mandate them to take a vaccine or any medical treatment, especially an experimental one. I have a piece of information to convey, which I think will convince people that the deaths are due to the vaccine and not just associated. So I could do that. And then maybe, Roger, I don't know if you wanted to pick up just a couple of the examples of the pathology itself that we have learned, and then I'll chime in. How about that?
No, I'd love for you to share the information. This is news. Today is a news magazine. We want to hear the news that you can share with us. So that's great.
Absolutely. I can do that. So a lot of people have said to me, Dr. Yeadon, you do know that this reporting system is voluntary. So it is erratic. And I think Dr. Hodkinson said, yes, perhaps 10% of deaths are reported. We don't know. It could be a little more, a little less. But here's the point for people to hear me and know that what I'm telling them is true. If the deaths were just random and not due to the vaccine, then they would be as likely to occur prior to vaccination as shortly after vaccination or months after vaccination. In other words, there would be no relationship between the rate of change of number of jabs in a country and the deaths. And what I can tell you is there is an unbelievably strong incidence of vaccination that occurs 2 to 3 days after vaccination in any town or city or demographic or cohort. Every time, if you study that, isolate it, and just look at what's the relationship between the date of vaccination and the report of death, if it was random, it would just be before and after and smeared out. It's not. It's a shark tooth. It's a really sharp, sharp tooth, and it's always the peak is 2 or 3 days after vaccination. Probably 50% of the deaths occur in the first week and the remainder over 3 or 4 weeks. So that I've satisfied myself. It's in a sense, I've looked at what I would call the sort of toxicokinetics. It's the arrival of the toxicity with time. And there's no question whatever that they are timed to follow just after the vaccination event. And if someone believes that that's still random, I would like to hear the explanation, because it satisfies me it's due to the vaccine and not just some casual association.
Dr. Hodkinson, your comment on that. I think Dr. Yeadon is absolutely presenting something critically important for our listeners. Would you like to add to that?
Absolutely. This is a totally new technology that's never been used in humans before. It's producing all kinds of unexpected consequences, which is the precise reason we do clinical trials, to find out. The purpose of a clinical trial is to say, basically, listen, we don't know what we don't know. That's why we do clinical trials. And now we're seeing all kinds of things, serious blood clots in the brain, in the legs, killing people. We're finding myocarditis that the CDC is calling mild. Well, let me tell everyone as a pathologist, myocarditis is never mild. It can reduce the reserve of your heart. It could result in premature heart failure 2 decades from now. We're going to see the consequences of this madness play out over a lifetime of consequences, not the least of which is, please tell me I'm wrong, that there is no effect on fertility. Please tell me that I'm wrong. That study has just not been done. So I'd close by saying, the government's been torturing you for a whole year with diapers on your face and quarantining you and all these terrible impositions on your liberty. But now that's not enough. Oh no, now they're killing you.
Absolutely. So I want to just remind people of something, because I've come across friends and colleagues in the United Kingdom. I would say they're, if you understand the film The Matrix, these people seem to be blue-pilled. Sometimes they're qualified. So some of my retired fellow scientists, I'm embarrassed to say, blue-pilled is you believe what you're being told. So it's comfortable in the lies. Let me just remind people, what is the premise of vaccine and of vaccination? And I'll answer the question. It's generally a healthy person without any symptoms. They show up to the doctor's office and they receive a vaccination. And they would generally have, at worst, mild effects, perhaps side effects, perhaps a little stiffness or a sore arm, maybe a mild fever for a day or so. They don't get ill. So you arrive well, you're given something that is protective. It educates your immune system to be armed and dangerous so that if you are later exposed to whatever it is, you will be able to cope and stay well. And so as a result, you stay well, you arrive well, you leave well, and you stay well. That is not what's happening with these gene-based vaccines against this virus, SARS-CoV-2. And that's because, unaccountably, and I'm ashamed for them, colleagues in all of the pharmaceutical companies have selected as the immunogen, the piece of the pathogen to which your body is being educated and to become immune, as it were, to practice against the assault of the real virus. They've all chosen to encode in these gene-based vaccines something called spike protein. You'll be familiar with the sticking out pieces on the cartoon virus that you'll see on your TV sets. Unfortunately, the spike protein isn't a passive anchoring protein, which the virus uses to attach to your cell and gain access to your cell, where it takes over the machinery of replication. And what it does is it makes your cells make a copy of itself. Now, I would be okay, except the bad news. I have to tell you, the day I discovered this, I didn't sleep all night because spike protein is biologically active. What do I mean? I mean that if you add spike protein from, say, SARS-1 was discovered in 2003, where there was this earlier epidemic, if you add it to human blood, it initiates processes that leads to blood clots, to coagulation. It also activates something called complement, which is an immune defense mechanism. So the day I discovered that, I just wished I was wrong. I was checking again and again. I know, and they know, that more than 10 years ago, there's published scientific literature, you know, in the journals that showed that SARS-1 spike protein triggers blood cell aggregation and coagulation. And so what has possibly happened that, you know, Moderna and Pfizer and J&J and AstraZeneca scientists have all chosen spike protein gene sequence or part thereof to educate our bodies? Well, I'm sorry, I knew in a heartbeat from my toxicology training that what was going to happen was that these gene-based vaccines would be picked up after injection by a variety of cells in our body, uncharacterized, by the way, because the clinical trials were not required to actually characterize which part of your body it was that picked up these genetic instructions. And then they set forth to manufacture and express and release the spike protein. I knew what would happen. At minimum, we were going to see blood clots, thromboembolic disorders. In fact, as one of a group in Europe called Doctors for, the number four, Doctors for COVID Ethics, we wrote to Emma Cook, the CEO of the European Medicines Agency, with an open letter explaining our findings and saying, we urge you to immediately suspend the use of these vaccines because we believe you're going to see an unacceptable incidence of blood clots. And I tell you what, this was February 2021. And within 1 week, 10 countries of the European Union had suspended the AstraZeneca vaccine. And guess why? Blood clots. So, you know, a bunch of private scientists working on their own, diligently following the story and realizing something seriously had gone wrong. At this point, you see, I'm still trying to be that nice guy, you know, thinking they've just made a mistake. And we kind of jumped into the traffic on the freeway and just said, there's an accident up ahead. There's an accident. You need to slow down and stop. They just kept going. They stormed past us. And of course, moments later, the biggest, I think this is the biggest biological disaster in human history that has involved my industry, biopharma. So I'll pause at that point. But unfortunately, there is much more than blood clots. Roger.
Well, what I would like to just get both of you to talk about, and certainly thank you, Dr. Hodgkinson, for being so definitive about the fact that there really is no mild myocarditis, because young people who are hit with myocarditis may probably be impaired for the rest of their young adult and adult life, because it is affecting the heart reserve. It is affecting their ability to play sports and to live a normal life. So I think it is a huge issue. And for anyone to say it's mild when a kid is in the ICU, which we know is happening,
right,
then I think it's criminal. And I think it's malfeasance when people in authority are not taking the responsibility to protect the public health. And I would like, I think we need to talk a little bit more about some of what Dr. Yeadon has found with the parallels between the and the similarities with the spike protein and proteins involved in mm-hmm. forming the placenta in women that can affect fertility.
Yes. Maybe I could just pick that up very briefly, and then I'll toss it back to, I'm not a pathologist, by the way, people listening. So I'm a scientist, not an MD. I have a PhD and multiple biology degrees. So I would say my expertise is broadly across life sciences that relate to understanding of human disease, discovery of new chemical entities, and launching them into early clinical trials. So my responsibilities finished after initial patient studies. So I was responsible for selecting programs, eventually exploratory medicines through toxicology, into so-called phase one volunteer studies, and into initial studies in patients. And then if it looked good, then people with medical degrees and clinical development expertise would take it away from me, and I would wave it off. So that was my expertise. And so toxicology was one of those things, biochemistry. And I noticed this was November 2020. I was working with a guy called Dr. Wolfgang Vodarg. We could talk about him later, but he's featured previously in fighting fraud. He and I noticed that there was this familial similarity. What do I mean by that? That the spike protein, if you just draw the sequence out of it, basically it's made up of amino acids. That is the components that when joined in a chain make up a protein, and then often you'll see folding in that structure, and so eventually it actually forms something that you can look at. It's actually an interesting trimeric structure. But if you compare it with a protein called syncytin 1 is a protein involved in the formation of the syncytium, that is the placenta itself. And the similarity is that spike protein and syncytin 1, they come from the same family. If you go back millions of years back into evolutionary history, you can see that they belong to the same branch. If you can imagine like a branch of evolution. They are not very similar at the detailed level. And I remember with some trepidation putting my name to this petition to the European Medicines Agency, because I will confess that the actual level of detailed similarity was not strong. But what drew me to including it was that it was the familial structure. So, for example, if you know what a single-story building looks like, you don't really care whether it's made out of wood or brick. You know this is a building and not just a mound, right? You know it's a construction. So what I was seeing was syncytin 1 and spike proteins, that I could see the familial similarity. And then what the worry was this, that people exposed to a vaccine containing the gene sequence for spike would make an immune response to this spike. And my concern was that that immune response to spike would also be expressed as an immune response to syncytin. And if that happens, you could end up functionally sterile. And I didn't think it was likely, but I said the risk, the probability of this happening is low, but the impact if it occurs is enormous. And as Dr. Hodkinson said earlier, they have not done reproductive toxicology tests. They have not studied this in humans. And so so that's what we put in. And there's two things that have occurred in the 6 months since that leads me to thank God I trusted my judgment. Because recently, 2 weeks ago, a paper was published in which females were administered the Pfizer vaccine, and at various days, hours and days after vaccination, a blood draw was taken from these volunteers, and they studied what was in that blood, and they discovered that they make antibodies to syncytin 1. They double or triple the amount of binding of their own body to syncytin 1 within 4 days, before they can even see antibodies to spike protein. Now, I don't know, and I'm not saying that alone is enough to prevent successful fertilization and full pregnancy, but it might be. And given that observation, I'm afraid, back to the analogy of waving the traffic down, at this point, you would take the life in your hands, you'd be flagging the traffic down. That's what I've been doing for the last few weeks. And then on top of that, a toxicology study, a distribution study has shown that these, at least again, the Pfizer one, concentrates in the ovaries and spleen and no other tissues of mice. So when this lipid nanoparticles are given to mice, instead of just washing through the tissues and washing out again, which is what you would normally expect for like a passive distribution of a drug, what happens is that over the next 2 or 3 days, the concentration rises and rises and rises. You should be terrified, as I am at this point, because there's no data to say this is not happening in humans. And the principle of toxicology is, if you've no data to argue against your index species, your guide species, you have to assume that's what's happening in humans. So I'm telling you, folks, the data we've got so far says at least one of the vaccines concentrates in your ovaries. And the other piece of data says you make an immune response to a fundamentally essential part of successful pregnancy. And we should just stop yesterday giving this to women of childbearing potential. And I'll pause, Roger.
Dr. Hodkinson, your comments. This is staggering information, and our listeners desperately need to hear it. And we need to continue to push this message regarding the safety issues.
The last time I checked, Dr. Vliet, you may cast your mind back to medical school, pregnancy lasts 9 months. How can you conceivably check on the consequences of fertility if you do a trial for 4 to 6 months? It's obviously ludicrous. It cannot give any assurance that pregnancies would be unaffected. But I would add to what Dr. Yeaton just said about the impact on the placenta. The spike protein, which is being produced in abundance intentionally by this vaccine, that spike protein has a receptor in the human body that is on the inside of every blood vessel, arteries, capillaries, and veins, and that includes the lining of the uterus. It just so happens that the concentration of that receptor has its highest expression in the placenta and also the testis, not the ovary, but the placenta and the testis. That information is out there. It was well known before this vaccine was ever introduced. It's part of the medical literature. And yet it was ignored. That's a crime against humanity. That is despicable to know that that is a potential consequence to fertility and it was not tested for. They knew that and they did it anyway.
And they did not inform the public and still are not informing the public. And as we celebrate this Independence Day in America, where we have led the world with people who had the courage to stand up against tyranny and fight for individual liberty to preserve life and our ability to live our lives. We, as Americans, need to stand up to this tyranny today. You have heard two world-class scientists, physicians, scientists, background in Bow, where the science is showing the way to information that you need to save your life, and you are being prevented from getting that information. As we are coming to the end of today's show, I want to urge all of our listeners on America Out Loud, check out the other shows on our platform where we have been addressing all of these issues that affect your life, your liberty, and your ability to live and work and own property and be free of tyranny. Check out all of those and stay tuned for the Voice of the Nation show that I'll be guest hosting for Malcolm later this week, when we're going to go into more depth with our powerful guests today, Dr. Hodgkinson and Dr. Yeadon. And we're going to talk more about these issues that we introduced to you today on Viewpoint this Sunday. People of America, this is your life. This is your liberty. This is your ability to live in freedom. Get loud, get involved, and take back the forces of freedom on this Freedom Sunday 2021.